Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
To have you with us today, we're continuing to look at jurisdictions, and we're actually going to kind of finish that today. Matter of fact, we're probably going to finish it here in this first segment, because there are five jurisdictions, and this last one that we want to look at is the business jurisdiction or the corporate jurisdiction. Now, ultimately, we said there's the supreme one is self-government. Secondly, family government. Third is faith. Fourth is civil government. And fifth is the business component. Now, with this, the reason this is fifth here is this is really ultimately a collaboration in this. For centuries, families had businesses, and business largely would have functioned under the jurisdiction of the family. But with time, families worked together, individuals worked together to form corporations, to form partnerships, so forth and so on. And so this one, the one of the differences on this is it's not something that was created by God, but is the byproduct of what God did create, and man has developed from that. We do actually see it in the Bible that there were businesses. Jesus told many stories about, you know, people who turned things over to their stewards. And in one particular parable, he said that steward went out to everybody that had, you know, gotten product from his master and talked about their bills and so forth and so on. So there was collaboration between businesses, even the parable of the talents, where the one guy buried his talent. Jesus said, you should have put it out to the exchangers. Basically, that was the version of our stock exchange. It was a limited development of it, but it was the early stages of that, where people would go out and they would lend money or buy an investment in a project. You know, if someone was going to try to go to China and get silk and bring it back and sell it, or go to another country and get spices and bring it back and sell it, people could go to the exchangers, and very frequently it was, you know, a percentage, an interest rate or something, but or they could, you know, buy in to a percentage of the return. Those were things that were all a part of that. That's a part of the business or corporate jurisdiction. Now, the reason I am addressing that and dealing it, and why it's kind of down at the bottom, is it is determined by self-government. People choose if they want to be involved. Same thing, the family chooses if it wants to be involved. Civil government certainly oversees it with certain regulations and so forth and so on. I mean, from safety to even practices of business, so forth. But with this, let's take like a partnership. Let's say that there were four people that enter into a partnership. Well, they can choose whether or not it has to be an equal partnership or if it can be an imbalanced partnership that, you know, one puts more in so they have a higher percentage. At that point, they determine all of that. That business really gets to determine that setup. But once that is determined, then the business government, the corporate government, dictates how things should be handled from that standpoint. Now, God basically talks about whether it's moral, immoral, so forth and so on. But those businesses get to decide that. At that point, it's been parceled out from self-government. You can't just say, well, you know, I agreed to that before, but I don't agree to it now. Nah, okay, you know, it's all been drawn up. Everyone has agreed to it. Now, that jurisdiction is being governed in our society by that paperwork that you signed, that you agreed to. That's what is guiding and governing this entire thing. You know, if you buy a house, you sign the papers that it's X amount of interest for X amount of years of payments. And at that point, that contractual arrangement governs. Now, again, government determines if some of those policies are correct and accurate. It falls under that. But that paper governs the function and the application of what happens from there going forward. It is a singular jurisdiction between multiple parties. That is the fifth jurisdiction, not technically established by God, but it is an outgrowth. And God does even speak to how that jurisdiction needs to function. But at that point, it's more how the individuals and the families in that jurisdiction need to function morally, with uprightness, righteousness, so forth and so on. Well, stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we're back. Now, I basically finished up on our jurisdictions. First, self-government. Second, family. Third, faith. Fourth, civil government. Five is the business or corporate jurisdiction. Now, I want to start going into things that have to apply to those jurisdictions. This is called ecclesia principles. I want to start dealing with some principles that God has established in His Word that have to be seen as being a factor in all of these jurisdictions, all of them. It has to relate to them. Now, some will do more than others. Some of them are tied to some jurisdictions and some aspects a little bit more. But the one I want to talk about today is the principle of choice. The principle of choice. You see, in this, that principle has to be there. If you're going to have liberty, you have to have choice. You see, one of the illustrations that I sometimes use is that your economics can really affect your liberty. And a lot of people say, well, no, I'm free either way. Well, you might not be free to buy that particular house. You might not be free to buy that particular car. And I'm not saying you should be or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that choices are a reflection of liberty. Choices are a reflection of liberty. And with this, choices, if people have them, that means they can make the wrong one. Again, Deuteronomy 30:19, God said, I have set before you life and death, therefore choose life. God told Adam and Eve, two trees in the garden, this is an epic paraphrase, two trees in the garden, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you do, you're going to die. At that point, they had a choice. God has always set it up so that humanity has choices. Now, with that, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God didn't say, oh, no, no, forget it. I don't want you to suffer. King's hex, let's just forget that. Let's do over, mulligan, whatever you want to call it. No, He gave them the choice, and He actually allowed them to deal with the consequences. He told them the consequences, that you eat of it, you will surely die. God has established choice. God made humanity to have a free will. He gave us the ability to choose. When we say a free will, I've heard some people say, well, you know, if you don't have the money, then you don't really have a free will because you can't do this. No, what it means is within your sphere, your life, your world, you have the power of choice. It doesn't mean you get to pick your eye color. Doesn't mean you get to pick whether you go bald or not, though maybe you can get some treatments for that. I don't know. But anyway, you get the point I'm talking about here. Ultimately, choices are involved. Choices can stack up and produce good, or choices that we make can mount up and create problems. But ultimately in there, we have the role of choice. I don't choose where the sun comes up tomorrow. But I choose certain things about myself when the sun comes up tomorrow. One thing that I know I always have control over is I control my attitude when the sun comes up tomorrow. That's my choice. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. That's my choice of what my attitude is going to be. I love what one person said one time. They said, you know, people can drive down the road and throw trash in your yard. Or he called it actually a garden. He said, people can throw trash in your garden. He said, what you need to do is eat what you grow. Don't eat what they throw. And a whole lot of people in life, they're choosing to eat the trash that people throw into their lives. You can't always choose whether or not they throw it into your life, but you can choose whether you feed on it. The foundational principle of choice is something that we have to recognize. It is something that God has given to us, and it involves self-government, family government, faith, civil government, even business. Now, obviously, sometimes you've made a choice. You know, just because, you know, you said I do, and, you know, a couple of years later you go, I don't. Well, you made your choice, and there's going to be, at best, difficulties in removing yourself from that choice. Choices are a foundational principle to how these jurisdictions work. Well, stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. And right now what we're talking about is the foundational principle of choice. Choice is a fundamental principle that impacts how jurisdictions are to work. Now with this, again, God said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose. In this, the loss of choice is the loss of liberty. Now, this does not mean that everything has to be a smorgasbord, that you can't pare down, you know, sometimes with our kids, you know, especially at Christmas, even when they were young, once they got to a certain age, we basically started telling them what the budget was for Christmas and then letting them choose from there. Now, we didn't let them choose what the budget was, but we told them, because what we were trying to do was teaching a little something about finances. We let them pick and understand if you get this, then you're not getting that. And you see, one thing about choice is you can't say, well, I want, you know, the old thing, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, I want that and I want that. Well, does that fit within that framework? Does it fit within the budget? Does it fit really within the framework of that jurisdiction? You know, God didn't tell Adam and Eve, well, the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. They ate of it and went, oh, well, Now, I don't really want you to die. No, there were consequences to their choices. And we cannot remove those consequences. You know, both of my boys played sports, and I specifically coached them in baseball. And one of the things that I did was I took a bat when they were little. I mean, I'm talking about starting about the age of six. I took a baseball bat, and I would swing it, and I would hold it down at the, you know, at the knob, at the end of the handle. And I'd say, you know, here's the thing. And I talked to him about what was going on in the house. I said, your hand is only on this end of the bat. But what I do with this end determines what happens with the other end. And I said, if you're standing near a lamp and you swing it, you can't go, oh, I didn't mean to hit it. Well, what you did on this end made it get broken. I said, you've got to understand the connection between what you are controlling and what ends up happening outside of your immediate contact. Those are consequences. And I also use that to tell them that in life, that's the way things are. You can say, well, I didn't want that consequence. Well, if you move the bat like this and that's out there, it's going to hit it. It's going to create that problem. Choices are a foundational principle. Now, in this, when you, we're talking about interaction between jurisdictions, the word tyranny is actually comes from a Roman. It was actually Tyrannus was his name. And in reality, the word tyranny originally came from him. And it initially identified someone who would take someone else's power of choice away from them, that they really didn't have the jurisdiction to make the decision, but they made it anyway. And originally, the idea didn't matter whether you were actually trying to do something good for the person or it was bad. Now, today, we only think of tyranny as being when someone does something bad towards somebody. But in reality, any time one jurisdiction oversteps its boundaries and takes away the choice of another jurisdiction that jurisdiction actually had the right to say, but this other one overstepped, took it, that is tyranny. The loss of choice is the loss of liberty, and that is tyranny. In one sense, probably all of us have seen at least one case along this line. God said, for this cause, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. We've probably all seen families that even though the children get married, move into another home, either mom or dad is still running their house, even though they don't live there. They might be making decisions that's good for them. It's just not their right to have the say. That is called tyranny, because they took the choice that God had given their son or daughter and spouse. They took that away from them. They lost liberty. Even if they did it for their well-being, it was still tyranny. All right, stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Glad to have you back. We're talking about the foundational principle of choice. And we discussed last segment how that the removal of choice is loss of liberty, and it's also tyranny when another jurisdiction takes that. Now, with this, where I want to go in this segment is that choice is the first step in responsibility. Now, with this, see, there is something that we are being told as a society with great regularity. There is a thought process that we are being sold with great regularity. And it really addresses this subject of choice. And through this process, and I know I'm holding it back here, through this process, it is giving, people are giving up their choice willingly because of this concept that's being presented to them. And ultimately, what it comes down to is, all right, here's our problem. Here's what's happening. And this person over here, this group of people over here, do not know how to handle things responsibly themselves. And so we as a government need to step in and make these decisions for these people. We need to formulate a plan that makes it to where these people cannot make bad choices. And with that, see, the idea is anybody with half a brain will go, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. You know, somebody needs to take care of those folks. But with that, what's being sold is that because of this group of people that cannot function well with personal responsibility, then the whole system has to be built off of people that cannot take care of their own personal responsibility. So everyone gives up power of choice to some degree because of these that cannot manage personal responsibility. You see, that, I'll use the analogy that I like to use very frequently, is that's the frog in the pot scenario. Now, if you're not familiar with that, you can take a frog, and I'm not encouraging you to do this, but you can take a frog and set him in a pot of cold water on top of a stove, and they'll sit there because that is a climate that they're accustomed to. Now, the thing of it is, you can turn the burner on the stove and begin to increase the temperature of that water. Here's the crazy thing. The frog will stay in that pot of water and allow you to boil him to death because all the changes are of such small increments that he can't tell that he's being killed. And you see in this, a lot of what's happening in our society right now, people are being put as the frog in the pot. They go willingly into the pot because they're sold on this idea that so-and-so over here can't manage their personal responsibility, so you need to accept the pot. You need to accept going in there. And then when you do, then the burner's turned on, it's turned up, and gradually you lose your power of choice. You lose your self-determination. You lose your liberty. You see, the thing of it is, the way you fix a lot of that, and there are always going to be people who make bad choices, but our society is increasingly becoming less responsible. Our society is increasing constantly becoming less capable. The reason is we keep taking personal responsibility off of people. Responsibility is necessary for maturity. When you understand this could cost me, going back to the story I told earlier with my boys, this is the budget for Christmas. If you pick to spend it all on one item, then you only have one gift under the tree on Christmas morning. You learn that your choices impact your life, which does encourage most people to make better choices. It trains them to do that. But when we have a system, which largely right now is how can we keep anybody from suffering? How can we keep anybody from suffering from the consequences of their choices? You're dooming the society to immaturity. And you're creating a path where the only way that things can function reasonably well is for government to completely control what's happening. And we've got to understand that. Choice is extremely important. Join us again next week.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.